Good evening. Welcome to the Solera Report. This is the weekly money and market, in fact, the last of the year. It's December, and of course, December is the time when we roll out the best of the Solera Report, and I go into the deep dive for the annual wrap-up. Anyway, it's Thursday, December 10th, 2020. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. On the website, of course, we're celebrating the holidays. Our Christmas greeting is at holidaygreetings.solera.com. You can see all of them back to 2010. Our big donation, of course, went to the Take Action Crowdfund this year. That's where you can get the instructions on Give the Gift. Every subscriber is invited to give a complimentary subscription. And we hope that will sort of ease the pain of your Christmas budget a little bit. And we've updated my Christmas gift ideas that we answered and asked Catherine several years ago. Then Christmas movies. Nina Hein, Food for the Soul, just published a discussion with me on Christmas movies. And next week we'll publish another one, Streaming Sagas, which are great picks for streaming over the holidays. And then, of course, throughout this month, the Let's Go to the Movies are Christmas selections. There's a wonderful oldie but goodie at food.solera.com. Harry Blazer and I, several years ago, did a Solera Report on the history of Christmas culinary traditions. And actually, it was absolutely fascinating. I didn't trust Harry to be prepared, so I got all the books I could find. I read about three or four books on the culinary history of Christmas, and it was absolutely fascinating. And then Food for the Soul, Nina Hein has a great new column, Women at Work, some extraordinary paintings in this one. That's all part of her series. This is the fourth of Women at Work, and this one is called The Toil. Wrap-ups. The injection fraud started to mail from the printer yesterday. It was mailing today, some more mailing tomorrow. And so you'll have that by Christmas for those of you who are the print subscribers. And then Visions of Freedom will go to the printer this month and mail in January. Injection Fraud, as soon as the books arrive in Hickory Valley from the printer, we will put it up in the store. And so if you're not a print subscriber but you'd like to buy hard copy, you can, of course. It's all available now, the PDF and digital form. So you have the complete document. You can just download it, print it out. And then as soon as Visions of Freedom goes to the printer, then the next one up is Deep State. Our annual wrap-up 2020 rolls out throughout January. Joseph didn't want to record news, trends, and stories until January 9th, so we'll start it the week following. So news, trends, and stories will go for 2 weeks. The Going Direct reset is the theme, and in the lead helping to write this is going to be John Titus. Then, of course, we have Hero of the Year, Movie of the Year, Documentary of the Year, Scenario Designs for 2021, Best Books for 2021, and of course my Equity Overview. So that will go on throughout January. Events, I'm doing an interview on USA Watchdog with Greg Hunter on the 17th. I'm assuming he will publish that sometime on the 18th or 19th. He likes to put them up late on Saturday night, so that would be late on Saturday night in U.S. time. Business trip. I was supposed to leave for Germany this weekend, but Germany went into a strict lockdown, so I'll leave on December 18th, driving from the Netherlands to Switzerland. I want to record with Thomas Meyer, and I'm hoping I can record with Ulrich. If not, I'll head back down to Germany sometime in January or February. Training has been put on hold for the rest of the holidays now. We have lots of people scheduled to train in January, lots of people interested in gathering locally, and I think that'll really pick up after the holidays. Please, if you're interested in gathering a local group, I would encourage you to send a request to customerservice@solera.com. We normally get back to you within a reasonable period of time. If you haven't gotten a response, check your spam filter. That's what we discover. If you think we haven't responded, you just check your junk and spam filter. Take Action Crowdfund. We're going to send out a report to donors tomorrow that will also be in the annual wrap-up. The majority of the funds, we believe, is going direct to the recipients. We encourage you. We link to all the people we're recommending and our impression is most people are going direct, which we think is great, especially if you can get the deduction. So go ahead and go direct if that makes sense for you. Through the Take Action, we have received 59 donations. The total amount of donations received is $37,698, and all of that has gone to the recipients. And again, that full list will go out in the donor report tomorrow and then in the annual wrap-up. And thank you so much for all the support you've given. Our theme tonight is Have Yourself a Very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. There's something very auspicious happening. I mentioned it last week, but I want to mention it again. On December 21st, which is the first day of the winter solstice, the Christmas star appears in the northern hemisphere. You'll be able to see it after sunset. What it is in fact an alignment of Jupiter and Saturn that creates an effect that looks like a star. It's called a double planet. It's a conjunction that will appear. It'll look like one super bright point of light. And I put some notes in the show notes about what this will look like. But to me, it's an exceptionally auspicious event. I'm going to be in Basel with Thomas and his tribe, and so I'm hoping. I emailed one subscriber and said, "Come on, we got to go up into the mountains and look at this." It's going to be in the southern part of the sky near the constellation of Capricorn. And I keep, sort of asking people who know a lot more about both astronomy and astrology than I do about what this all means. But I don't know, I find it very auspicious. In the homepage, we have a little section up called For Christmas Time, the Bird of Dawning Singeth All Night Long. It's my favorite quote from Shakespeare about Christmas.
Some say that if against that season comes, wherein our Savior's birth is celebrated, this bird of dawning singeth all night long. And then they say, no spirit dare stir abroad. The nights are wholesome then, no planets strike, no fairy takes, nor witch hath power to charm. So hallowed and so gracious is the time.
So I find the Christmas star to be a reminder that this is a hallowed and gracious time, and let's hope it inspires a new impulse of freedom throughout the world. Money and markets. All returns are total for 2020 year to date, and I'm working off the Wednesday close. So that's yesterday's close. U.S. dollar index now off 5.18%, 5.18% for the year. See, Mnuchin and Powell are squabbling over the joint programs. John Titus and I talked a lot about it, money and markets, last week. But you can see the heat is really ratcheting up, and now Congress involved. Fixed income, the long treasury is 17.35% for the year. Intermediate Treasury ETF up 9.66, the bond aggregate up 6.84%, and junk up 3.61%. That's the market feeling confidence that the Fed will just print their way out of any problems, is what it feels like. Equities, the S&P up 15.65%, so just a tad behind the long treasury. The jobless claims were up sharply this week, and we're watching a double down on the lockdowns, in part because of the confidence that Biden will win the election. And so the attack on independent producers is really on. We're coming down to the people who can print money versus the independent producers. So on one hand, you have a group of people who have to earn their money. They have to grow food or dig a well or make some plumbing work, versus the people who the central banks print money and then hand it out to a variety of people to write the official narrative. If you look at how many people are being paid to write and shriek me to the official narrative, it's incredible. And there was no better example of this than a huge battle that Andrew Sorkin had with Rick Santelli on, I guess it's CNBC, one of the news networks. And Sorkin, who I don't know anything about other than he's basically, maybe he's a psychopath, proceeded, Santilli was complaining about locking down businesses, and it made no sense to shut down a church or a restaurant when a big box store was packed with people. And Sorkin said, oh, absolutely, the science absolutely supports the big box store opening, but not the church and the restaurant. You couldn't believe it. And he said it with a completely straight face, like he was basically an AI robot. And Santilli went ape. The other rant in this sort of issue of the magic virus only attacks people who are in small businesses as opposed to big businesses was by the owner of the Pineapple Grill in California, who had been shut down. Her outdoor dining had been shut down. And then the governor had approved a movie company feeding their people right behind her grill with essentially the same setup. So it was okay for the magic virus was, you know, the movie company was safe from the magic virus, but not her business. And we're literally watching, you know, two businesses next to each other. But as long as the business that is owned by the guys in New York, you know, BlackRock, KKR, JP Morgan, if the New York bankers and New York investors and big investors own the business, then the magic virus can't touch it. But if they don't own the business, the magic virus, you know, can kill everyone in there. But that's science. Anyway, so Sorkin and Santilli go nuts at each other, and the owner of the Pineapple Grill rants, and you're beginning to realize the independent producers are beginning to understand the game. It's hard for people to fathom that the, you know, that the whole thing is that much of a con. But I think that's becoming widely understood. In the middle of this, of course, with the market up 15.65%, Airbnb finally did its IPO, and it doubled after it went. Now, it's very interesting because if you look at what the lockdowns are doing to tourism, it's amazing that it still went off this well. Anyway, there are more IPOs coming, so we're definitely in a bit of an IPO season. I had to bring this up. I got an email announcing that JP Morgan Asset Management is launching its JP Morgan Carbon Transition U.S. Equity ETF. Let me read this. The sustainable ETF will offer core exposure to U.S. equities with a low tracking error compared to the Russell 1000 Index and aim to have a meaningful reduction in carbon intensity. You get this. It will use a forward-looking proprietary research framework to identify which companies across all sectors may be positioned to benefit from the transition to a low carbon economy. It goes on. Then, of course, if you look at the top 10 holdings, it looks just like any large cap stock ETF. No difference. And, of course, all the big cloud providers to the CIA and DOD are there. Number two holding is Microsoft. Number three, Amazon holding. Number four holding is Alphabet, which is Google. Number five, Facebook. I mean, who's zooming whom? It's just, if you haven't read our ESG wrap-up, I highly recommend it if you want to understand this area of the world. But, oh, I wish I'd had this as an example to use in that, although I had plenty of juicy, delicious examples of what's going on with the ESG world. Staying with the U.S. stock market, U.S. regulators and 48 attorney generals are limbering up for what promises to be the biggest legal battle against a U.S. company in decades. This is the Facebook. The New York Attorney General is spearheading one of the two lawsuits against Facebook this week, accused the social network of abusing, quote, its dominance and monopoly power to crush smaller rivals, snuff out competition, all at the expense of everyday users. Oh, well, do you think? Home builders up 26%, VGK, the European ETF, up 3.79%. So the U.S. market's significantly outperforming Europe. Now, remember, the expectation before COVID hit was Europe and emerging markets were definitely going to outperform the US. Funny how that always seems to magically work out. Germany up 7.06%, developed markets minus North America up 5.59%. The China large caps up 6.32%. A big article report in Financial Times this week, the party, basically government, exercising more power over private sector, and it's just more technocracy everywhere. This is global. Emerging markets up 13%, so slightly beneath the U.S. markets, and in part that reflects the dollar index being down 5.18%. Commodities index down 14.46%. A very interesting news this week. Let me read you the headline. This is from MSN. Water begins trading on Wall Street in the futures market for fear of shortages. Starting this week, water will be traded on Wall Street commodities futures markets due to its scarcity. The price of the vital liquid will fluctuate just like oil, gold, or wheat. The price of water in California has doubled in the last year, according to the NASDAQ Valley's California Water Index. Experts assure that its arrival in the commodity market will allow better management of the future risk associated with this asset. The U.S. company CME will launch contracts related to California spot water, a market of $1.1 billion. With the NQH2O ticker, the price of water futures in California was trading today at about $486.53 per acre foot, which is equivalent to 1,233 cubic meters. Anyway, this is, I sent a copy of this to Joseph saying the dead vortex is sending out a giant sucking sound to real assets. Inflation cometh, technocracy cometh. Gold up 20.71%, silver up 33.27%. So gold clearly had a very respectable year and outperformed the U.S. equity markets and global equity markets. And silver, obviously, very strong performer. S&P Dow Jones launched their Bitcoin index. J.P. Morgan Chase, in fact, came out with a report saying that they saw significant money moving out of gold into the crypt over time as a systemic shift. And there's no doubt that's one of the goals of the central bankers, in my opinion. But I continue to believe that precious metals is going to have another good year next year. Oil down, you know, still in the doghouse. And clearly Russia and the oil producers are struggling because of that. It's a big, you know, to take that hit on your main commodity, plus COVID, that's tough. Additional stories. Needless to say, we're watching tremendous pressure for lockdowns. And this really is turning, as I said, into the people who can print money versus the people who have to earn money. And we're starting to see the people who earn money beginning to realize that they're being tortured by the central banker's currency monopoly, and something's got to give. One of the things that really sort of signaled, yes, Virginia, this is a conspiracy, was the report that came out from John Hopkins, basically saying there are no excess deaths. Let me just read some description of it. After retrieving data on the CDC website, Brand, that's the professor from John Hopkins, compiled a graph representing percentages of total deaths per age category from early February to early September, which include the period from before COVID-19 was detected in the U.S. to after infection rates soared. Surprisingly, the deaths of older people stayed the same before and after COVID-19. Since COVID-19 mainly affects the elderly, experts expected an increase in the percentage of deaths in older age groups. However, this increase is not seen from the CDC data. In fact, the percentages of death amongst all age groups remained relatively the same. The reason we have a higher number of reported COVID-19 deaths among older individuals than younger individuals is simply because every day in the U.S., older individuals die in higher numbers than younger younger individuals, Briant noted. She went on to note that between 50,000 to 70,000 deaths were seen before and after COVID-19 came to the U.S., which indicates the number of deaths was normal long before the pandemic. So, Brian noted, not only has COVID-19 had no effect on the percentage of deaths of older people, but it also has not increased the total number of deaths. Needless to say, John Hopkins, after the uproar, took the paper down. We're watching protests all over the world. There were very serious London vaccine protests. The biggest protests are over agriculture. Modi has passed 3 different agriculture laws in India. 250 million farmers showed out to protest. That's the largest protest ever in world history. It's a world record. And when we did the Global Harvest, so that was one of our older wrap-ups that's still very, very timely and useful on the food supply and on the global food supply. And at the time we wrote that, less than 1% of the people in America worked in agriculture. In Europe, I think it was 2-3%, but tiny percents. If you go to India, when we wrote that, it was 48%. And there is a real effort by the sort of global investment community to take that 48% way, much closer to an industrialized number. And of course, the pain that is going to cause is enormous. And when you combine it with the other things happening with automation and COVID-19, makes no sense. So pray for the Indian farmers. They were the ones who stopped the Doha round of the World Trade Organization. And it was really an amazing thing. The reports were that there were over 200,000 farmer suicides to generate that opposition. The COVID-19 vaccine, one or more was approved in the U.S. The pronouncements are the Pfizer vaccine is headed toward FDA approval in the U.S. The pushback on these vaccines is extraordinary. There are many excellent presentations at Mercola and Children's Health Defense if you want to watch more about them. The effort to suppress the truth is very, very significant. There are unbelievably serious questions about the impact of the Pfizer vaccine on fertility. It's a much, much longer discussion. What's really frightening is that we really don't know a lot about what's in these vaccines. Polly Tommy did a quick video that I posted and tweeted out about some of the just reading along in the insert of one of them, and it was pretty frightening. Alan Phillips has updated his website. He has a relatively new guide on, it's an ebook on vaccine rights and state exemptions. And that's available. I went in to make another donation today. I will continue to post in the website lots of videos about these vaccines. But needless to say, they are exceptionally, in my opinion, exceptionally dangerous. Anyway, I'll look for an opportunity to talk in detail about that. And I'm sure Joseph and I will talk in detail about that. But please do not ever allow this vaccine to be put in your body or that of anyone in your family. And just educate yourself. This is an exceptionally, in my opinion, exceptionally dangerous to your mental capacity and your physical capacity. And again, the questions about fertility are very serious. Somebody, a subscriber, sent me today a report, an extract from CNN. He wrote, "Are you kidding me? CNN said, don't be alarmed if people start dying after taking the vaccine." Let me read this. Quote, "We would not at all be surprised to see coincidentally vaccination happening and then having someone pass away a short time after they received the vaccine, not because it had anything to do with vaccination, but just because that's the place where people at the end of their lives reside," Moore said. "One of the things we want to make sure is people understand that they should not be unnecessarily alarmed if there are reports once we start vaccinating of someone or multiple people dying within a day or two of their vaccination who are residents of a long-term care facility. That would be something we would expect as a normal occurrence because people die frequently in nursing homes." You know, what do you say? I just can't make this up. Brexit. It's funny because I remember Joseph and I talking constantly about if we were Britain, we'd just do a non-deal Brexit, just do a hard Brexit, get it over with, and work it out from there. Johnson now warns Britain to prepare for a non-deal Brexit. Well, there you go. Some things are just too complicated. You have to do it and negotiate afterwards. US elections, what can I say? As I described last week, Barr really pulled the rug out from under Trump. And the question, of course, is why it looks to me like there was a significant slug in the Republican Party that made their deal. And if anything, you know, they're throwing in with the Biden or using the deal with Biden to ensure themselves the Senate. Who knows? Let's just pray that we, you know, the truth will be revealed on this one. Trump and his legal team have tried several different tactics at the different swing states where there was clearly significant fraud. It hasn't been working, and so they have a group of, at this point, I think it's 11 attorney generals now filing suit with the Supreme Court to essentially complain about non-constitutional election process at the swing states. I would say that the odds are this is a, you know, it's going to take a miracle. But anyway, the sort of squabbling goes on. Mike Flynn, to my shock and amazement, came out and made a strong recommendation and was lobbying that Trump should exercise the Insurrection Act and, as a result of the fraud, basically suspend the Constitution and go to martial law, putting the military essentially in control. I basically think that is suicide. If you use the conservatives and the sort of QAnon crazies to make that happen, then what the next thing that will happen is the deep state will simply move President Trump out of the way and proceed to confiscate all the guns, force mandated vaccines, and confiscate a whole bunch of property. God knows what else they would do. I mean, you're talking about Goldman Sachs's and the central bankers' wet dream to be able to set aside the Constitution. And all I can say is that either Flynn is a Manchurian candidate, you know, or he made a deal. This is his way of getting back revenge on the country for all the pain and suffering. But it proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that the establishment was right, that Flynn was way too stupid to be national security advisor, you know, and so you're almost thankful that they moved him out. You just can't imagine. He's either bought or mind controlled or I can't imagine what it is, but it has to be one of the stupidest ideas I've ever heard. And yet I know many intelligent people who started to fall for it until I've never had anybody who fell for it when explained to them exactly what would happen. And they were like, right, of course. You know, Trump opens the door and then the deep state drives a truck through it. Are you out of your mind? Anyway, so Senator Cruz is scheduled to argue the in the Supreme Court on behalf of the Texas case, so we'll see what happens. Both Trump and Putin move forward on AI, Trump with a big executive order on AI for all the agencies. And my read on what's happening, one, it's very coordinated globally. It's all part of the COVID op, I think. But one of the things that's interesting is it if you look at the Microsoft contract being in place, the Amazon contracts being in place, and some of the other cloud contracts going in and being in place, you add the AI, and now you're really talking about the infrastructure to do radical re-engineering, as we talked about. We've been talking about the fact that's going to happen after the election for 2 years now. Okay, what's up with alien disclosure? The alien question is back on the table. I'm going to write a book review of Dolan's new book called Alien Agendas. And so I'll address this next week. And I'll put up with it a little video that tells me telling the story of how the U.S. Navy tried to persuade me in 1998 that aliens existed and live among us. Carol Rosen just came out. She used to work as an aerospace executive with Wernher von Braun. And she came out and gave a very cogent description again, something she's described on many occasions, but she did it again, warning that von Braun had predicted, you know, first we do this war and that war and this war, then we do the war on terrorism. I guess it was the Cold War, then we do the war on terrorism when the Cold War is over. And then the next thing are going to be, you know, the war with aliens. Aliens will be the next way to centralize control. So she said, you know, beware the disinformation. Then Joe Rogan had Jacques Vallée on his show, and I don't trust Rogan as far as I can throw him, which is not to say that he doesn't have a lot of good material. You know, it's only when it's really important that he throws it. He did something on vaccines, which was the scummiest thing I've ever seen. And now, you know, Rogan can't get posted at Salir without a particular, with specific waiver from me. Anyway, but he had Vallée on who explained he thought Battelle was basically running the governance system is what it sounds like. And I would say no, Battelle Memorial is running the black budget and sort of is the budget manager and the knowledge manager on the black budget, which is a very powerful and important position is what I believe. But it's not the governance system. It's not the principles. It's a very significant piece of the bureaucracy. Anyway, so I think the alien disclosure is coming up, but the thing that really brought it up was the former head of the Israeli, I think it was the satellite or space program, came out and said that aliens exist and the Americans have deals with them. And Trump is aware of this. And you look at this and you say, uh-oh, somebody's building up to something. And of course, they're bigger and bigger bets on space. So something's happening with alien disclosure. And unfortunately, there's a group of people like Dolan who are trying to give accurate information. But the opportunity to abuse this, let's face it, COVID, I mean, the war on terrorism didn't work. The war on populism, you know, has been, I would say, it's not getting anywhere. COVID's not working. Climate change isn't working. So the question is, you know, what's the card they're going to play next? And this could be it. So more on this later. Heads up on electricity. We're getting reports from around the world that the electrical systems are having problems. I just finished reading Ben Davidson's Weatherman's Guide to the Sun. We had a wonderful subscriber who did a book review for us, which we published about a month ago, and I'm going to add a comment on that. But there's lots of evidence to suggest we are in, because of the sun and changes in the sun and space weather, we're in for a lot of rocking and rolling. So whether it's food or energy, got to be resilient. Finally, I'm hearing a lot of angst in our subscriber base and audience about having to navigate the friends and family or sort of navigate your relationships with other people based on who's going along with the official narrative and who's not. And I decided I would make a chart to kind of help you understand sort of how to go about this. So if you can, look in the Money and Markets commentary for this week, and there is a little chart or a series of pictures that we put up. It's called the Ally Finder. And there are two rows and two columns, and so four pictures or four scenarios. And if you could just go take a look, let me talk you through it. So if you look at the columns, they relate to mind control. So you can be less mind controlled on the left or more mind controlled on the right. And then the columns are fact-based towards the top, and then the other is playing ball. So if you're fact-based, you're interested in sort of an objective reality, and you're not interested in joining the cult. You're more interested in facts and reality. If you're at the bottom, then you're playing along with the official narrative, and you know, you're not as interested in facts or in organizing your life around facts. So that breaks out into sort of four different scenarios. So let's look at what they are. At the bottom row where everybody's playing ball, in the first quadrant, we split it up into two. So this is somebody who wants to play ball, but they're less mind controlled. They're savvy enough to know that this is sort of, you know, playing ball with City Hall as opposed to, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid and believing. Anyway, we put that into two kinds of people. One is searching for the middle of the road. There's still a lot of people who think, you know, that they can get along with City Hall and stay in the middle of the road without picking sides. And they're finding life is more and more difficult. They're getting squeezed out of existence by and large, with rare exception. Most of the people I know who fit in this category, who think they can still be in the middle of the road, they're not dangerous to you, but they will waste a lot of time. They're constantly, a lot of them are constantly angry and whining because they're trying to do something that can't work and they're getting squeezed out of the middle of the road. Anyway, so they're not prepared to kind of cut ties and go and build a whole new way of doing things. They're kind of sort of caught in the trap, if you will. So the playing ball people are usually not dangerous to you, but they can be very, very expensive in terms of time and energy. And if they're trying to, you know, use their associations in a variety of ways to sort of buy favoritism, they can cause you risk or danger. So I generally have found that it's not a good investment of my time to spend time or invest time with people who are searching for the middle of the road. The other fact pattern in that quadrant is the psychopath. That's basically the Russian mob guy who knows it's all complete yah-yah, but he's just going to play it for what it's worth. Doesn't have any empathy for people. Clearly somebody you want to stay away from. Okay, so if we go to the quadrant on the right, that's somebody who's more mind-controlled. And they're in the cult, and they're just trying to get what Franklin Sanders says, the treats of the tapeworm. They just want to work their way up and, you know, be a vice president at J.P. Morgan Chase or, you know, be successful at a big law firm, make a lot of money. And they're just in the cult. And they're, you know, it's amazing because some of them are very high IQ, but they're totally brainwashed. They're really drinking the Kool-Aid, and they just, it's amazing how they can have very high IQs and very impressive education, but they are dumb as a tack, and they can be exceptionally dangerous. So I have more than a few relatives in this category who I will not speak to. I just, you know, I won't speak to them because God knows they can be exceptionally dangerous. Okay, so let's look at the top quadrants so these are the people who are fact-based. In the less mind-controlled area, that person is your potential ally. So if they're fact-based and they're less mind-controlled, this is where the people you want to work with. This is, you want your banker in this quadrant, you want your money manager in this quadrant, you want your accountant in this quadrant, you want, you know, this is where you're going to get your friends and allies in this quadrant. So I find that as the world changes and more people find themselves in this quadrant and people in their friends and family in the other quadrants, they waste a tremendous amount of time trying to get along or persuade the other folks to get, you know, if you've ever tried to persuade a tapeworm treat lover into becoming less mind-controlled, good luck with that, let alone talking them into becoming fact-based. It's a complete waste of your time. So it's really important to let go and and find and focus your time on building alliances with people in this quadrant. And there are lots of them. Yes, you know, it takes time. Your whole Rolodex reshuffles. I mean, I know the extraordinary reshuffling I went through, you know, so it can be done. You just have to understand this is the quadrant where you're going to make friends and keep friends. Okay, so there, on the right, we've got what I call the niche expert. This is a person who's fact-based, but they're more mind-controlled to the extent that they don't see the big picture. So this is somebody that when it comes to a concrete function, and you stick to what they know. In other words, they are very fact-based, and they have an expertise. So they're an accountant. We have a picture of a guy running a cafe. They're a chef. They're a plumber. They're a surgeon. And they're great at what they do, and they stick to facts on what they do. But you engage with them in the area of their expertise. And as long as they're a person of integrity in the area of their expertise, then you should be okay. It can get a little bit tricky more and more. They depend on the tapeworm. But I found the people who earn a living at a niche expertise who are very fact-based, you have a way of working with them, which is productive for you and them. But they're not going to be a potential ally because they don't get the big picture. And if you try and engage with them on the big picture, you know, it's probably not going to be productive. Okay, so the point of making this chart, I wanted you to understand that it is not a good use of your time to waste any time trying to build allies or persuade anybody in those three other quadrants. You're going to have to find and build your life around the fact-based, less mind-controlled group. You know, that's where success and happiness lie. And you need a system of identifying and getting along with the others. But you need to understand that if you have family and friends who are in these other quadrants, you need to let them go. It's never going to work. And right now, trying to make it work is, you're going to lose a whole lot of time and potentially put yourself at risk because these folks can get dangerous in the wrong kinds of situations. Anyway, I hope that helps you understand how to kind of navigate it. And I'm grossly oversimplifying, you know, because clearly life is a little bit more complex than this. But I find the minute you understand you've got to build in that one quadrant, and that's where your opportunity is, life will get a lot easier. Anyway, finding allies and navigating the cult. Can you believe this world we live in? Our heroes this week are absolutely inspiring. The first I first heard about when Robert and John and I were part of the Basel workshop that Thomas and the Present Age put on. And that's Professor Sukarat Bhakti. He and his wife are author of Corona False Alarm. And he gave an interview, it's linked from the hero section, with Laura Ingraham, where he just nailed the whole thing. Unbelievable. And this is somebody who, in his field in Europe, is one of the most respected scientists and researchers. So to see somebody of that extraordinary prominence just so simple and clear. Anyway, it's really inspiring to watch. And then the sheriff of Riverside County refused to enforce any of Governor Newsom's and pointed out that Newsom was a complete hypocrite and violated all his own rules. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, remember the focus in the second quarter wrap-up, the injection fraud, which is on its way. And again, the PDF posted now. Is heroes, and it's incredible to see how many heroes there have been. There's so many great people standing for life and civilization. It's inspiring. Our Blast from the Past is an article I wrote in 2004 I had the Department of Justice do, and the Deep State do, one of the most dirty things they did during 11 years of litigation. So every time they did something dirty, I'd dish out dirt on them. And Meditations at the Crossroad is the story of why I believe my mother was assassinated and who I think was in the chain of command on that, it happened right after Bush became head of the CIA, and he took Barr with him to work in the general's counsel's office. And one of my questions has always been, was basically, because I think the Rockefeller Commission turned over a list to Bush as to who they wanted cleaned out, and that list might have gone through Barr's through the general counsel's office, because a lot of this stuff is handled behind attorney-client privilege. Anyway, so when I had the back and forth on subscriber input about Barr, I finally came back and said, I think it's remarkable that anybody, sort of given my history with Barr and what he's been up to. Barr was instrumental in helping the Bushes deal with the Clintons on the narcotics trafficking operations at Arkansas. So, Barr has been a Bushy soldier all along. And, and I always thought he went into the Department of Justice when Trump made a deal with the Bushies at George H.W. Bush's funeral. So I just think he's basically a deep state good soldier. And it's been very charming and funny to me to watch him at the Department of Justice and see how shocked he is by the corruption. And it's funny, the Bushies were always very neat about how they would manage the organized crime and corruption. And, you do that over here and you don't let it merge into this. And then when the Clintons came to town, their attitude was, oh, it's one world. Let's just merge it into everything. Anyway, so Meditations at the Crossroads, and it's a another story of sort of what got me crosswise of with the establishment. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure out who'd killed my mother and why. And it took me literally through a large part of the litigation to figure it out. And I don't think without the litigation I could have figured it out. And one of my suspicions always was that because of a variety of different sort of tensions between me and the group that controls the CIA, that part of what happened was because of the old tensions about what had happened to my parents. So I think my family, like millions of families, has struggled to get along with the deep state and failed. And I will say this, my family absolutely, not every member, but we have always had real problems with the deep state from early on. And the deep state's done a lot of poisoning and killing. Anyway, Meditations at the Crossroads, it's part of my story. In Let's Go to the Movies, I chose A Christmas Carol. There are about 20 different versions of The Christmas Carol. And this is one that was a British American production made for TV with George C. Scott in 1984. Scott, who's an amazing actor, plays Scrooge, and he is absolutely fantastic. And this was the natural follow-up from the movie we had last week, The Man Who Invented Christmas. And I think watching The Man Who Invented Christmas and then watching A Christmas Carol is a great 1-2 punch. And Nina and I discuss it in our recording for Food for the Soul of the Christmas movies. Our interview this week is Bridget Mouchet talking with Dr. T, a wonderful Israeli doctor, about the importance of skin. It's absolutely fascinating and really true. Jason Bowden-Smith has gotten me to understand a lot more about the importance of sun. And I just have to mention, he and one of his colleagues did an absolutely marvelous thing. They've made sure I have a Sperity sun lamp and an EMR infrared panels. And because there's not a lot of sun, there's wonderful sun here in the Netherlands in the summer. But of course, I'm right on the North Sea, on the IJsselmeer, which is right on the North Sea. And so there's not a lot of sun in the winter. And so having a sun lamp and infrared panels is just really, really wonderful. Anyway, I'm very glad Bridget did that. One of the quotes she used in the commentary was from Dr. Mercola. Over 1 million people die every year from lack of sun exposure. Anyway, get that vitamin D. It's been very clear on COVID-19 that people who have serious vitamin D insufficiency are in real trouble. Okay, that's it for this year. This is the last Money in Markets of the year. So as soon as this is in the can, I go into intense preparation of the annual wrap-up. That's quite a process. You can't imagine how many headlines we have to go through from 2020. We've got them all in these table press databases, and we're mixing and matching and working with them. And it's quite a process because you think you know what the top stories are, and then you work through and emerge all the sort of open source intelligence, and you realize, wow, there's other things going on here. I'll be back. My next Money in Markets is January 7th with John Titus. And now when John joins, we are going to be doing videos. Ultimately, I want to go to all videos on Money in Markets, and we'll evolve into that during 2021. You're going to find me on subscriber input throughout the period. So I'll be on subscriber input and discussing things. This month, we'll be celebrating the best of the Solaria Report. We do this at the end of every year. And I do it because one of the things I discover is we get new subscribers throughout the year, or subscribers who've been very busy. They might have missed some of the best content of that year. And so this is a way of grabbing the best of the best and making sure you have a chance to listen to it. So first up next week will be the Solaria Report, the series. So the food series, the future science series, the wellness series, and food for the soul. I'll give you a chance to hear the best of each of those. Then the following week, it'll be the interviews. So the weekly interviews. And then following that, we'll do part one and part two of news trends and stories. As I said, Joseph does not want to record until January 9th, so we'll kick in to the news trends and stories in the following Thursday after that. So until January 7th, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, 2020 is going to be a good year to start one. Now, what I want everyone at Solaria to do is gather wherever you are on December 21st and after sunset, should be very shortly after sunset. Look into the southern sky where Jupiter and Saturn are going to enter into their great conjunction to create the Christmas star near the constellation of Capricorn. And I want you to wish on that Christmas star that our visions of freedom will come true. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish you a very Merry Christmas and a very happy and prosperous New Year. Good night and good luck.